Chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, this is our seventh lesson in our One Another series. Not for sure how many of these we will have. Lord willing, probably next week. I'll take a break from it at least for 1 week for next week, and then we'll come right back to it. This morning's lesson is going to focus on the aspect of forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. Colossians 3 and verse 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask for your help this morning as we come to your holy word. I pray that you give me the liberty and clarity of thought to be able to teach your word this morning, and that we as your people will come this morning with hearts that are ready to receive it. Father, help us in this One Another series to apply these things to our life and our relationships, Lord, not only abroad to other people, but Lord, to us within the church, Lord, that we would treat one another as we ought, that we'd love one another as we ought. Help us, Father, to cultivate a culture that is submissive to the Spirit of Christ, and that each one of us are seeking to be a little bit more like Jesus in our relationships to each other. Help us, Lord, to learn a little bit about this forbearance and what that means, and help us to apply it to our life, that Christ might be seen at work in our hearts and here at New Testament Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. In this short verses here that we've read, there are actually several great, as you can see, Christ-like qualities that we are here exhorted to put on in just these couple verses. Very good things, and we can focus on any one of them for sure. However, the one that we're going to zoom in on is where we are told to forbear one another. Now, before we look into that a little bit this morning and what it means to forbear one another, I thought this would be a good time, especially because of this passage that we've read, it'd be a good time to help us to see a little bit of the motivation behind on why we should treat one another the way as we ought, or the way the Scriptures teach. So I want to think about that just for a moment. And this applies to everything we've talked about receiving one another, comforting one another, encouraging one another. And so it applies to all of it. And so I want to take a moment here in this lesson to deal with this, because it's just so, it just really jumps out at me here from God's Word as we look at this. And so treat one another this morning, first of all, because treat one another as you ought, because first of all, Christ is all and everything to you. Treat one another as you ought, because Christ is all and everything to you. Notice in verse 12, he says there, put on therefore. Therefore is therefore for a reason. And he just had told them in the previous verse, in verse 11, he has just said, but Christ is all. But Christ is all and in all. So be forbearing, be loving, receive one another, not judge one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, exhort one another, instruct one another, help one another. Why? Because Christ is everything. Christ is all. Listen, you may not be motivated too much by looking at me, you know, by being willing to do these certain things that we're taught to do in the Scriptures, be motivated because your eyes are on Christ, and Christ is everything. So much of what this letter to the Colossians is about the sufficiency, is about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Christ is all in Colossians. Paul speaks so much about that. And he wants them and us to know that Christ is everything. A brief glimpse of what some of the things that Paul talks about here in Colossians is we are taught from the very beginning in, in chapter 1 and verse 16 that Christ has created all things, and that all things were created by Him and for Him. We were made for Christ, and Christ made all things. We're taught in chapter 1, 17 that Christ is before all things, and all things consist by Him. We're taught that Christ is ahead of the church, and that in all things He might have preeminence in 1:18. Paul tells us that Christ is the hope of glory in 1:27. That in Christ is hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge in 2:3. That the law was a shadow of Christ in 2:17. That our life is hid with Christ in God in 3:3. That Christ is our life in 3:4. And then after establishing all that Christ is, then we come to chapter 3 and 3:5. He says, "Mortify therefore." Why should we die to the flesh? Why should we crucify the flesh? Because of Christ. Because Christ is everything. He is all things. He's created all things. He's made us for Him. He is in us. He's our hope of glory. He's the preeminence. In Him is all wisdom and knowledge. So put on, therefore, if you would, forbearance, because Christ is everything. And basically in 3:11, when he goes on there in the verse before that we started off with, after he establishes all the preeminence of Christ and He is everything, and to put on or to put off these deeds of the flesh, he teaches us in 3:11 that it doesn't matter really whether there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. Christ is everything to all of us as God's people. He is everything, whether you're bond or free, Jew, Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian. Christ is everything. Why should we treat one another as we ought? Because Christ is everything to us. He's our Creator. He's our Maker. He's our Redeemer. Why should we put this off that is of the flesh and put this on that is of Christ? Because Christ is my all in all. Put on, therefore, He's our coming King that will return in glory, He talks about there in verse 4. So put on, therefore, all of these sayings. Why should we be merciful? Why should we be kind? Why should we be humble? Why should we be meek and long-suffering, forbearing and forgiving? Because Christ is everything in our life. He's our all in all. I should quit right there. We should go home and just do it, right? Christ is there. I should let that from the end. Man. Secondly, treat one another as you ought because Christ is in all of us. Christ is everything. And us as believers, we have Christ in us. He just said that in verse 11. Before He says put on therefore, He says Christ is all. He's everything. And in all. Now, He doesn't mean all people in regards to all people of the earth. He's writing to Christians there at Colossae. All believers are indwelt with Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. And that's a very good motivation to treat one another the right way. That's another truth that Paul has established as he's written to the people here at Colossae. He's basically saying in 3:11, it doesn't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, bond or free, as a child of God, you have Christ in you. They have Christ in them. Be nice to them. Right? I mean, I want to sum it up. They have Christ in them. They're one of God's. Jesus Christ is in them. You better be nice to each other. Christ is everything and He is in them. In 1:27, Paul taught us that Christ is in you, right? The hope of glory. That also means that we as believers, we have the power of Christ in us to put on these things that Paul listed. We might read this list in chapter 3, the things to put off and the things to put on, and we might read this and go, whoa, that is a tall order. That's a big order. It is. But we also have the power of the living Christ in us to enable us to walk this out in our life. Paul says in 1:29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which works how? In me mightily. We are able to do these things because of Christ in us and be kind, be forbearing, all of these things He's listed, because Christ is in them. Before we ever act rashly toward one another, pause and consider this truth. One, you have Christ in you, so you therefore can, you do have the power of Christ to be kind, to be forbearing. And also remember this truth, before you act rashly towards another brother or sister, that He is their everything and He is in them. Now by saying He is your brother or sister, I'm not saying we can be mean to people of the world. I'm just bringing it down to us here at New Testament. He is in them just as He is in me. Thirdly, treat one another as you ought because Christ has chosen you, separated you, and loved you. Notice in 3:12, He says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved." So then, be godly. Be like Christ. Because of who Christ is, He is everything. And because of who you are to Christ. Put this on because of who Christ is, and put this on because of who you are to Christ. You are the chosen. You are the elect. You are the holy of God. You are the beloved of God. Be nice. You're one of God's chosen. I've mentioned this video several times. I think it's in the Chip a week or so ago. Great video I've mentioned. I just love watching it. It's this preacher. He gets up and he just kind of, it's all, you know, it's theatrical. And so it's put on. It's not real. But he gets up and he looks all pious and he just gets up and all of a sudden goes, "Oh, if I may just digress for a moment. I mean this when I say, guys, just be good." And it goes on for about a minute. It's hilarious. You know, I wanted to do that whole thing one time just to be funny. But it's hilarious because it's like, just be good. Just be nice. Be nice. Be nice to each other. I love that little video. Oh, anyhow. Just be good to each other, right? Why? Because you are the chosen of God. Folks, do we realize what that means? There's so many people that are going to die without Christ. There's so many people that are going to spend eternity in hell. And God has saved us. According to Ephesians 1, the Father has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and He has predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. God chose to adopt us to be His children. And because of such, we are holy, meaning we are separated by God. The word holy there and how it's used isn't talking about being holy in the sense of a godly life. He's talking about a position that God has put us in this passage. When He says, "Put on therefore as the elect," and it says holy and beloved. It's a position of holiness before God that God has purposely set us apart from the world. He has set us apart from the world, and therefore we should be holy and set apart from the world. But He has set us apart. He has chosen us to Himself. He separated us, if you would, and made us as one of His own. He's chosen us out of the world to be distinct and set apart from it and set apart unto Himself. Peter said this, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, God has set us apart unto Himself. Why? Because He says, the holy and beloved. We are loved of God. Listen, why should we be kind? Why should we be merciful? Why should we be forbearing? Because we are the beloved of God. God has loved us. Knowing that Christ is everything to us, that He is in all of us, He has chosen us to be set apart unto Himself, and because He loves us, our great motivations and power to put off the old man, to to put on the new man, which is like in the image of Christ who has created us. So as we speak about forbearing one another, apply that unto not just that, but everything else we've talked about thus far. Let these be your power and motivation. Because of who Christ is to you, who Christ is to those around you, and who all of us are to Him. Now let's get to this forbearance. Understanding forbearance. Strong's Concordance defines the word translated forbearing as to hold oneself up against, to put up with, to bear with, to endure, forbear or even suffer with. So to forbear has the idea as to not to withdraw so you can tolerate. And sometimes some people, you just don't be around them at all. That's how you tolerate them. That's how you put up with them. You're not actually putting up with them if you're never around them. Right? You can't put up with somebody if you're not around them. You're not putting up with them. You're ignoring them. That's not forbearance. Forbearance has the idea of actually being close and putting up with. So to forbear is to hold one close while you bear with them. We do not forbear by ignoring one another completely. Well, I get along with everybody in the church. But do you ignore everybody in the church? See, that's not getting along. We may forbear by overlooking or purposely ignoring one another's perceived annoyances or imperfections. Now, as getting this ready, I could understand the beginning as thinking, well, this is a lot like receiving one another. A little bit, but not completely. There's a difference. When we talked about receiving one another, we were talking about those that are weak in the faith. Receiving them and how we relate to one another. This isn't about being weak in the faith. You might be strong in the faith and you might be a very annoying person. Okay? So it's different. To understand forbearance, let me say this, we also need to understand that forbearance is not forgiveness. That's important to get. They are distinct. Even in this passage, we are taught to forbear one another and forgive one another. Forgiveness is required when someone literally does us personal wrong or sins against us in some way. There will need to be forgiveness. Forbearance is not as much about forgiveness. Forbearance is literally putting up with one another. Forbearance may have nothing to do with anything wrong that someone has even done. Forbearance doesn't even mean that person has done anything wrong at all. If you're looking for a book on forgiveness, I recommend this several years ago, but I was looking back over it this past week and enjoyed just reading a little bit of it. But Gary Enrig, in his book on forgiveness, stated this: a wise person is careful to make a distinction between forgiving and forbearing. If I turn every grievance into a forgiveness issue, I will become a very lonely person. I will appear to others to have a chip on my shoulder, no offense, Chip, I'm just giving a quote, and they will avoid me. They will avoid me. I like that because I kind of wish I had done this one immediately after our receiving one another, because while we should not offend one another, at the same time, we shouldn't be people that are easily offended too. So there is that part. But basically, in what he's saying that we cannot treat everything that rubs us the wrong way like others should be seeking forgiveness from us. Well, they offended me. They need my forgiveness. We can't look at it like that. Not everything that offends us, annoys us, or irritates us about others is a sin against us. Nor is it necessarily a problem that other people have. It may be a problem that I have with people, because I'm just a very easily person to get annoyed. If a lot of people annoy you in your life, you might want to think about it being you. That's what I'm saying. I love this little devotional by Stuart Scott, which this little devotional is actually what led me to think about doing a whole series. Every now and then I refer to it. It's a very brief devotional, not very deep, But it's just a good thought, maybe for your kids or whatever, a little one another book. But in his book, he did state this about forbearance. He said, "Why is it that people get annoyed with other people? The person being annoying may not, in fact, be at the root of his annoyance. Sometimes the root of the problem may actually be the one who gets annoyed. When someone else gets annoyed with others, it is pride rearing its ugly head." That is so much true and so often. Now, some people can just flat out be annoying to everybody. That's a different issue. I'll mention that in a moment. But if you're a type of person that just gets annoyed so much, consider this morning. It's you. Now, are there some there are some character traits that just rub maybe all of us the wrong way, you know? And there are certain character traits that people may have that just annoy us, maybe annoy most of us, but it doesn't mean that the person is sinning against us. Someone may speak too loud at times. My preaching might annoy you sometimes. Preacher, he just gets too loud. Some people just talk loud, or they may not know how to be quiet or when to be quiet, and that annoys you. That can be annoying to some people. Some people may not know how to talk to you without getting right up in your face. You know, some people might do that. We're like, whoa, easy, buddy. You know, you don't have to be this close, you know. Okay, hold on. That's an annoyance. That doesn't require forgiveness, right? There's a difference between the character traits, mannerisms of one another that might just annoy us, and those things are actually sins against us. Not every grievance, not everything that annoys you requires you to forgive this person over and over and over again. Okay? Maybe you just get annoyed too easy. Or maybe they are annoying. That does happen. Like I said, some of you might find some of my preaching mannerisms annoying. You may find my pacing back and forth at times annoying because you feel like you're watching a tennis match and that reminds you that you need to exercise. I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, just certain little, you know, we shouldn't just get, some people can get annoyed at some of the silliest stuff. I mean, like, well, they do this, this. Why does that bother you? Quit being so annoyed so easily. Well, I don't like it when they, that's not a sin. Get over it. Don't be so annoyed. Right? Just don't be a person that gets easily annoyed. Listen, when you get married, you're going to find some things that annoy you. I know Tracy found a lot of things with me. But that's because I was annoying. So I had to put that in there. But that doesn't mean it's sinful. I mean, you might get annoyed at the way someone brushes their teeth. When you get married, you find out these little things. Or they don't brush their teeth. That has to be sinful somewhere. We joke about those little things, the way they push on the middle of the toothpaste, you know? That's annoying. But I shouldn't get annoyed at those things. I don't think I do, because I think I actually do that. Or the way they fold their clothes. The way they don't fold their clothes. The way they eat their food. Some of you are annoying. Close your mouth. But it's not a sin, is it? It's not a sin. There's a difference. Sometimes our mannerisms are just so different. And we find these things out, you know, when we get married. You may get annoyed because the person you live with is just too stinking perfect. Man, that's annoying. Now, I do think it's wise to not to try to annoy people when you know things annoy them, right? When you're aware of that. I know this annoys them, so you know what? I'm going to make sure that I don't get too close to them. When I eat at their house, I'm going to make sure I close my mouth. That annoys them. Pastor said so. So you come over to my house, close your mouth when you chew your food. You know, so we shouldn't purposely be annoying, you know? Some people feel like maybe purposely try to annoy, just kind of push your buttons. That's not good. Don't do that. But if you're a person who just gets easily annoyed at a lot of people, consider the common factor in those relationships. Maybe it's not all those annoying people in your life. Oh, everybody's trying to get underneath my skin. Maybe it's not your annoying spouse or your annoying children, your annoying boss, your the annoying driver in the other lane or in front of you, the annoying waiter or waitress, the annoying church member or pastor. Maybe it's you and a lack of putting on forbearance in your life, a lack of growing into the image of Jesus Christ, who is everything to you and has done everything for you and who forbears with you. Now, we're usually convinced that it is all those other people, not us, who have all those irritating mannerisms, annoying habits, and bad manners. No, it's everybody else, right? I mean, I don't have any annoying habits or mannerisms. Boy, other people do. I like this other quote from Gary Enrig. He wisely said this. He said, "A church isn't a nice little club of mutually compatible people. It's a group of often difficult, in-process people filled with quirks, idiosyncrasies, failures, and personality shortcomings who are in constant need of the grace of God, just as we are." The things that annoy us about one another should be a reminder of our own need of God's grace and a reminder that we need to show grace. Now, how do we forbear? I ask you this question. How do we forbear when we find other people so annoying? First of all, you need to ask this question. First of all, ask the Lord to search your heart and reveal what may be going on within you that may be finding certain people so annoying. Maybe you have another issue with that person, something that does require forgiveness. And so now, because of that unresolved issue, everything that person seems to do annoys you. You see, why someone annoys you doesn't deserve your forgiveness, but there might be something else that you need to work on in that relationship, whether it is a forgiveness issue. And now, because you're mad about this other thing they've done, every little thing they do annoys you. We see this all the time with people. I see it all the time in counseling with people. They got a problem, you know, they got a real problem here. There's a lack of forgiveness there. They haven't worked that out. And now from there on, it's like every little thing that this other person does, it just annoys them to no end. You're getting easily annoyed because there is another issue there that will require forgiveness. Listen, I have found in my own life that whenever I have something that I'm having a hard time forgiving someone with, everything that person does, just, man, it gets to me. And if somebody else did it, I wouldn't think anything about it. Somebody else can do the exact same thing that person's doing, and it doesn't bother me at all. But because I'm having a hard time forgiving that person for something that they've done, now everything they do, I look at them, they're our jerk. They're just annoying people. Oh. Do you understand? We things are worse. Things become more annoying to us. So, while it doesn't require forgiveness, sometimes the forgiveness is the issue of why we find other people, certain people maybe specifically, so annoying. Maybe there's other issues in our heart. Maybe an issue of envy. You think you deserve what that other person has, and so that makes you less tolerable with them. But be willing to ask the Lord to reveal in you what may be the issue. And quit being so focused on what about them annoys you and ask the Lord, why am I getting so upset with this person? Why do they annoy me so much? What is it about me? Is it my own anger issues, Lord? Is it my own pride, my own unresolved forgiveness or envy? You see, when we get our own issues right with the Lord, and we are being more like Christ in our hearts and how we relate to one another, then we will find that we won't get as annoyed with others. We will find that we are better able to forbear and to put up with others and to respond to them with an attitude of grace. When we become more deeply aware of our own need of grace, it will be much easier to show grace to others. Maybe you've got your own mannerisms and annoyances. Remember that you do. Second, ask Christ to help you love them like He loved you. In Colossians 3:13, He told us there in the latter part of the verse, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Listen, that applies to all of these things. Forbearance included. We are to forbear and forgive. We are told to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Well, the Lord also forbears with us. You don't think a perfect God could find some of our traits annoying? Some of our mannerisms? Certainly. Now, sometimes other people are being the problem. Just flat out, they've got some habits, mannerisms that annoy most people. So it may not be an issue of your own heart. However, see it as an opportunity to love them like Christ loves you. Because I assure you that you have your own mannerisms that could annoy a perfect God. Jesus had to forbear with His disciples, and sometimes even Him, as He is here, and of course He's man as well as God, there's times it seems He got exhausted with His own disciples. Remember one time in Matthew 17, He said this, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" That word suffer there is the same word, translated suffer there, as translated forbear in our passage. Jesus said, "How long shall I put up with you guys?" Man, why don't you have some faith here? I mean, so even Jesus Christ in His flesh here, we find that He is having to forbear. Not because there's imperfections in Him, because there's imperfections with them. So it may not always be you, it might be them. But still forbear. Sometimes I know the Lord must forbear with me because I'm struggling in faith, struggling with trusting Him. And I know it's not Him, but it is me. He is trustworthy. I know I am the problem. Yet He suffers with me, puts up with me. Why? Because He loves me. Remember, our motivation for forbearing with one another is because Christ loves us. He is our motivation, our example. He is also our strength as He is in us. His power in us can enable us to forbear with others as He is with us. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Let's read verse 1 through 3. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Here we are told to forbear with one another in love. Love is what will enable us to forbear. Now, I think this is so important to understand because here's the real issue. If you're getting so annoyed with people, understand that it is you. You need to love. It reveals, it brings to the surface your lack of love for them and for Christ. So if you're easily annoyed, the real issue isn't that they need to change their mannerisms. The real issue is that we need to grow in the love of Christ. The exercise of showing love in this way is also, according to Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, is what God uses to help maintain and keep the unity of the Spirit. When we forbear one another, we are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This means that unity is not when we are all the same in every way. That is uniformity. That's completely different. Unity is when we choose to love and forbear, even though other people may do things that are very annoying at times. We maintain unity by still being kind and gracious to others when they have some habits and manners that may really get under our skin. See, for the sake of love, you forbear. And what are you doing when you forbear for the sake of love there? When somebody has mannerisms, habits that are annoying, you are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. I'm amazed at what people are willing to allow to divide them as a people of God. Sometimes it's just mannerisms. Sometimes it's just little annoyances of things. Personality conflicts. We allow it to divide us. We can allow it to divide us as a church and cause disunity. What the real issue is forbearance. Loving one another. as Christ has loved us. Consider this, and maybe you will come to even be thankful for the annoying habits of others. Maybe the Lord has them in your life to annoy you at this time, to reveal something about yourself that needs to change. Wouldn't that be a different way of looking at everything? I mean, we wouldn't get so annoyed with John Tiber. Right? John, you're just so easy to pick on. You're right there in the front. You're smiling. You know, I know you'll love me anyway. Put up with me. But why does God put people, I say it because He's probably the less annoying person I know, you know. Well, why does the Lord put people, though, in our life? Like, what does this do? It tries us, our patience. It tries that flesh. Maybe the Lord is using them to show your lack of love. Quit getting mad at them and realize that, hey, maybe I need some patience in my life. Maybe the Lord is revealing to me my pride. I just think I'm better than them. I don't do anything like that. Maybe they don't need to stop being annoying as much as I need to learn to love them and stop being annoyed. Maybe that's what really needs to change. Maybe it's not them that needs to change. Maybe I need to change how I relate to them. Is it sinking in yet? We really want to change people. We want them to stop this. We want to stop that. Maybe we need to change. Maybe we need to change that we are more like Christ. I've often found sometimes that the imperfections I see in others has been how the Lord revealed to me my imperfections and where I need to change also. Let me give you this to ponder. If you get easily annoyed at others because of their bad habits, mannerisms, etc., and people just annoy you generally, life is probably hitting you hard or is going to. I've noticed in some people when they just seem to get annoyed with people so easily, let me tell you what, life hits those people hard. Because if the little things, little mannerisms and quirks in other people really get to them, let me tell you what, when something really hits them, their life falls apart. People are going to do a whole lot more to you than annoy you because you don't like the way they walk or the way they talk. There are going to be times when we must go beyond forbearing others because we just simply don't like something about them, and we are going to have to forgive them because they have done us wrong. Forbearing one another prepares us to forgive one another. Forbearance is smaller than forgiveness. If we can't do the least, how can we do the greater? Our learning to forbear with others just because they rub us wrong is good practice for when others really do hurt us because they have sinned against us. How can we forgive for sin if we cannot even forbear them when they have just rubbed us the wrong way with their manners? Proverbs 10 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." If we cannot love enough to forbear, how can we love enough to forgive? In conclusion, I know your favorite words. When we learn to forbear with others as Christ has with us, we are revealing here at New Testament the power of the living Christ within us. Christ is in you. Remember, it is Christ in us that enables us to forbear. We are living out the power of the gospel every time we put up with one another in a spirit of Christian love and grace. When others come among us, they do not see the power of the gospel because we are all just alike in every way. But the gospel shines and is clearly manifested in us when they see that we are very different in our mannerisms, but we love each other anyway because of who Christ is to us, what He's done for us, and that He is in us. The Spirit of Christ is seen working in each of us when we are very different, but yet we have unity. That is the power of the gospel. The gospel that unites us is always far greater than the things that may annoy us about one another. Therefore, forbear one another. Christ is everything to us. He is in all of us. We are His chosen people that He has adopted as His children, and He loves us very much. So much that He gave His life for us. So let us give up our pettiness that we may have toward others. And let us forbear. Forbear one another. Something very interesting, I thought. Another way this word forbear is used, and I'll close with this. The same word translated forbear here is also translated suffer. We've seen that with Jesus, but it's also used to describe the suffering of persecution. The suffering of persecution. If we cannot forbear with one another right now, how can we forbear, bear up under real persecution? If we can't forbear one another in Christ, through Christ is in us. He's our hope of glory. Christ is everything to us here at New Testament Baptist Church. If you can't forbear with a child of God in the church that God has placed you in, and you can't tolerate, and you get all annoyed, how can you bear up when real persecution comes? Real suffering comes. We need to forbear one another. God help us. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd use this for Your honor and for Your glory. Father, forgive me for how easily I've been annoyed in my life at other people. I know that oftentimes what that has revealed a very ugly truth about myself. And I pray that if there's any here, Lord, that seem to have multiple complaints all the time about this or that, this isn't right, that isn't right, I don't like this, I don't like that. Father, help them to see it is them. They lack love, patience, forbearance. Father, deliver us from such a spirit. Help us to be like Christ. Help us to love one another. And Father, if there are bigger issues at the heart of this lack of forbearance, where there needs to be forgiveness, help them to pursue that as well. Help us to not be prideful, envious of one another. Help us, Lord, to be like Christ, who's done everything for us, who is everything to us, and who indwells us and gives us the power to overcome the old man. Help us every day to put off the flesh and to put on Jesus. Help us to forbear one another in love. In Christ's name we pray, and amen.